GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. Touched on it last week in a conversation with State Representative Jennifer Poirier and David Trahan of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, the wording of the citizen-initiated red flag law appearing on the ballot in November. And the wording came from the Secretary of State's office and the committee, and concerns from the gun owners of Maine. The president, Laura Whitcomb, said she'd dial in this morning, George, to talk with us about the wording and what are the next steps. She's on line three for GHRT.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to read the wording here in just a moment or two, but let us ask, what is the Keep Maine Safe campaign, Laura?
Keep Maine Safe is a ballot question committee campaign of Gun Owners of Maine, which is what is required by state ethics laws. Whenever you spend more than $5,000 on a ballot question, you have to make a campaign that's registered with the state. And so we've done that in anticipation of trying to defeat red flag legislation in the state of Maine.
We've been hearing about this for a long time. Red flag laws are also known as extreme risk protection orders. State laws are in some states in the U.S. These laws are different than what we have in Maine, slightly. They allow courts to remove arms temporarily from individuals who are deemed to be a danger to themselves and others. Your group, Keep Maine Safe, likes, I'm assuming you like what we're doing now.
We would definitely rather keep it that way. And, you know, we've just now started to have law enforcement throughout the state have a really great understanding of how that process works. And it's not a process that doesn't have its faults, and we can see that that's being worked out throughout the state, but it's definitely a forward progression of being able to maintain a balance between keeping the people of Maine safe and also not trouncing all over people's due process rights. And so now, just as we've started to be able to utilize what some people call the yellow flag law or community risk protection orders, we have out-of-state special money coming into the state of Maine trying to insert new legislation that is really quite terrible when you read through it. And unfortunately, you know, the way that the ballot wording is done doesn't really truly exemplify what the proposed legislation does, but there's not really anything that we can do about that now. So as we move forward from now through November, we have to educate people on what red flag laws actually do.
I'm going to read the wording in a moment, but first, let us ask you to explain to people. I think we have an understanding because of our conversations with you, Laura, and with David, the difference between the community protection orders we have now and what would be red flag. We think that the big difference is due process. With the yellow flag, I'm going to call it the yellow flag law that exists, the community protection order that exists, there must be a sign off from a medical individual and then a judge. What we think we understand by the red flag legislation is it skips some of the process. Before we read the question, can you give us what are the differences between what we have now and what red flag seeks to change in the process of taking or confiscating or securing a firearm from someone deemed a danger to themselves or others?
So the process that we have now, law enforcement can go to the person and request that they have a mental health evaluation before taking their firearms. That's a very short summation. And with red flag laws or extreme risk protection orders, what can happen is a person, which can be law enforcement, family members, of which the list is quite lengthy, and I can read that for you in a moment, or household members can petition the court to have your firearms removed without your notice. And in fact, in the legislation, it specifically says that law enforcement agencies across the state have to come up with policy and procedures in order to remove someone's firearms without their prior notice and to make sure that they don't know that they're coming. And so you would have law enforcement showing up at your door, taking your firearms without any notice, without any hearing whatsoever. And then 14 days later, then you get your hearing. And unfortunately, it's played out in other states where a lot of people don't know that that is the hearing that they have to show up to in order to try and convince the judge that they shouldn't have their firearms removed. And in Florida, for example, when people request these types of orders, they are granted 97% of the time, which is a pretty high statistic when you think about, you know, how often things happen. If you were to go out and buy a lottery ticket, you know, your chances of winning aren't 97% for sure. And so it's a kind of a daunting number to look at. And so then once, if you do have your firearms removed, you can only request to have them given back to you one time in 1 year. And the other difference is that if you are petitioning the court to have someone else's firearms removed, you have to have a very low standard of evidence. Basically, what the court says is that you have to have prove that they're more likely to support the claim than not. That's the burden of proof, that if I want to try to convince the court to take Rick's firearms, I just have to convince the judge that what I'm saying is more likely to be true than not. However, to get your firearms back, you have to have a significantly higher burden of proof to do that. And so it's not really fair, you know, to be able to have your property removed, and then to get it back, you have to have what's called precise, explicit, and of such weight that it produces a firm belief or conviction in order to get those firearms back. And so there really are a lot of extra steps that you have to go through under the red flag laws.
Okay. With that said, let's take a second. We're going to read the wording released from the Secretary of State's office and then ask what is what could be considered the most important question. This is the wording from the Secretary of State's office for the citizen-initiated ballot question for red flag law. Okay. Do you want to allow courts to temporarily prohibit a person from having dangerous weapons if law enforcement, family, or household members show that the person poses a significant danger of causing physical injury to themselves or others? Now, here's the follow-up question. Laura, in your opinion as president of the Gun Owners of Maine, does that question truly reflect the difference between what we have now and what Red Flag seeks?
It really doesn't. And the list of family members, for example, is quite lengthy. So a family member can be a current spouse or domestic partner, a former spouse or domestic partner, an individual presently or formerly living with the person as a spouse, a parent of a mutual child. So, for example, if you were in a relationship with someone 10 years ago and you had a child together, but you were never engaged, maybe you never even lived together, you were never married, that individual, an adult sibling, an adult child, a parent, or an adult presently living within the same household. And so, you know, that's a pretty big list of people that can petition the court to have your firearms removed. There's definitely been some abuses in other states, and there's, you know, two things with that is that one of the most frequently asked questions that I get is, what is the penalty for a false accusation? And the answer is that there is a penalty built into this proposed legislation, that it would be a Class C crime. However, we are also seeing in our state that it doesn't really matter what you're charged with if you're never prosecuted. And just last week, there was legislation that was being presented in Augusta that was asking for prosecutorial transparency, because the police are going out and doing all this work to try and get bring charges against people who are doing the wrong thing, but because they don't have enough staff or time or money, they're not actually prosecuting these things. So, you know, a prohibition on people filling out false information is only as good as if whether or not they're going to be prosecuted. And the other huge piece, you know, when it comes to the difference between red flag and yellow flag, is that if you execute a red flag law on someone, that doesn't give them any help. There's no protection from abuse orders. The person, you know, is still living amongst everyone in society. There's nothing prohibiting them from going out and purchasing other firearms or weapons illegally. And so you've gone to someone's house, you've removed all their firearms. If they're genuinely a risk to themselves, you know, they may try to take their own life by other means, and now you've just made the situation worse. And if they're genuinely a harm to other people, there's nothing stopping them from going out into the community and hurting people with any other means. And so under red flag, all you're doing is going in and taking, quote, their dangerous weapons. You're not doing anything to address the actual issue. And that is probably one of the biggest issues and the biggest differences between red flag and yellow flag, other than the lack of due process.
Let me see if I can summarize what people who don't follow it day-to-day know about it. Maine is the only state that has a yellow flag law. 20 states and D.C. have red flag laws. and it varies from state to state. Those who support Red Flag say it prevents suicide, mass shootings, a legal path for intervention, saves lives. Critics say, no, you have a very danger of due process rights being violated, especially during the time of ex parte orders. And the ex parte orders means that the judge evaluates without the individual being present. And it provides an abuse problem on malicious reports. Does that balance it fairly?
It is a pretty fair balance for what's being proposed. I think that's what's important to understand from the proponent side of this particular piece of legislation is that their statistics are fuzzy. And so if you go to their sources and their sites, it says that red flag laws reduce suicides, for example, 1 in 10 times. But if you actually look at the study that they're citing, the study says that it might reduce suicides anywhere from 1 in 10 to 1 in 20 times, which is a pretty big difference. You know, and I think when you have people that are out circulating a petition, and in order to get people to sign their petition, are asking individuals, do you want to end gun violence in Maine? Of course people are going to say yes, they want to end gun violence in Maine, but that's very misleading. And it's the same way with this wording. And so while we don't have any control over the way that it's presented to the voting electorate in the state of Maine, we do have the opportunity over the next, well, less than 6 months to educate people about what it actually really means and whether or not we're willing to make what we perceive to be a very unnecessary change to our laws in order to check a box for people who are truly seeking to control who owns firearms in our state. And, you know, it's difficult as a member of the healthcare community to see people come in and try to change the words around to make it seem like it's better than it really is. But we're not actually helping anyone with this law. We're not giving anybody any assistance. We're not, you know, giving them the help they need in the moment. And so for me, if you genuinely think that somebody is a risk to themselves or others, you don't go into their home and take their property. You help the individual. And so this does nothing to achieve any of those goals. It's very misleading, you know, and it comes from a place that is funded by people who seek to control firearms. And I think that's apparent in the way that they've, you know, presented the information, because they're not looking to help people. They're just looking to have one more way to restrict legal firearms ownership in the state of Maine. And it's just not a change that Maine needs.
Who's bankrolling the other side? Who's bankrolling your side?
So the bankroll from the other side comes specifically, their top donors are out of Oregon right now, and the which is funded by Michael Bloomberg, who funds Every Town for Gun Safety, Moms Demand Action, and the Maine Gun Safety Coalition. So that's the other side. That's typical. Right now, the funding from our ballot question committee, you know, the initial funding comes from donation from gun owners in Maine, and we've been getting donations from all over the state. You know, I've told people if every single person who has a dog in the fight for due process and for gun rights would donate the price of one box of ammunition, then we would be well on our way to be able to fight the millions of dollars that are surely headed our way. But it's definitely something that comes in, you know, $15, $20, $50 at a time. And that's what the grassroots of Maine is.
Laura Whitcomb is the president of Gun Owners of Maine. We'll close by asking where people find you and the organization online.
So to find out more information about what red flag laws actually are, I would encourage people to go to keepmainesafe.com. Under the facts, there's a lot of information, a lot of citations, and information on why this is a bad choice for Maine.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.